Welcome to Eucharist Podcast, where we're exploring what it looks like for a community of disciples to live all of life in reference to Christ. The following sermon was given by Father Ryan Jones on January 29th, 2017, the fourth week of Epiphany.
Blessed. Apparently, there are a lot of blessed people out there. Here are a couple of examples of some blessed people that I came across here. This woman is blessed because she bought a new car. So blessed. This next guy is blessed because he was on the winning football team. This next one here, I'm not even sure what to say about that. I'm not sure what dream they're living. It seems more like a nightmare if you ask me. But they're blessed. When you encounter any of the millions of posts or pictures that are hashtag blessed, it quickly becomes apparent that there are many different ideas about what it means to be blessed. So this morning, I want us to consider this question of what it actually means to be blessed. What does the blessed life look like? Now, if my brief foray into the posts on Instagram and Twitter are at all representative of what people think, it appears that for most people, the notion of being blessed is about experiencing success or good fortune. It can look like getting good news about getting a job or getting into a school or about buying a car or about vacationing in an exotic place of some kind. But when it gets right down to it, for most people, being blessed is a comparative phenomenon. What I mean is that the person deemed blessed is usually the one who is considered advantaged when compared to other people. So the blessed person is the one who is healthy when other people are sick. The blessed person is the one that can have children when other people cannot. The blessed person has nice cars while everyone else drives that old beater. The blessed person gets to travel while most people endure the drudgery of home life. Being blessed in the way that people typically use that word, is about having a leg up on other people. It's about being advantaged. It's about being well-positioned. I think if we're honest, oftentimes talk about being blessed is merely a way of expressing delight in the advantages that have come my direction, while simultaneously veiling my sense of privilege under what looks like a bit of modesty. You see, instead of pretending that I'm directly responsible for my advantaged state of life, I can defer to God. I don't know what to say. I've just been blessed. I didn't do it. God just chose me to live a privileged life. And of course, exactly what I'm saying is why there are a lot of people who, truth be told, hate the hashtag blessed, right? The whole notion of blessing is annoying to them. Because it can easily feel like a game of boasting. Boasting not merely in success, but in divine privilege. You see, it's one thing to say you're good at something or to work hard or succeed, but it's another thing to invoke God as the source of your advantaged state of life. To be honest, sometimes I wish that we could just drop the word blessed from our vocabulary. It seems like it often adds more confusion and more hurt than anything else. But of course, we can't do that. If you know anything about the Bible, you know that blessing is one of those essential biblical words. It shows up on the first page of the Bible as God blesses humanity who he has just created. You remember it says he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. The first thing God does is he blesses his creation. And then a few chapters later, God comes to Abraham and he tells him that he will bless him. And beyond that, that all nations will be blessed in and through him. And so in many ways, the story of the Bible is one long, slowly unfolding story of blessing. That's exactly what Abraham was promised. So we would be foolish to try to avoid this difficult word. It's right at the heart of what God is doing. But here we are again with this question. What are we to do with this notion of blessing or being blessed? I'd like to suggest that if we're going to try to actually understand a truly Christian notion of blessing, perhaps the best place to begin is with our gospel reading today. It comes from the book of Matthew, and it's a passage in which Jesus deals directly with the notion of being blessed, of who is blessed. So if you have a Bible, I'd just invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And again, if someone has a page number, they could maybe shout that out.
785.
Matthew chapter 5. So in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew begins with Jesus seeing the crowds. He's been out doing his healing, he's proclaiming the gospel. But then when he sees the crowds, he heads up on the mountain with his closest disciples to have a heart-to-heart. And this Sermon on the Mount is actually Jesus talking to his disciples, not to the crowds. Crowds might be listening in, but he's talking to the disciples. And he's talking to them about a number of interesting subjects. But interestingly, the first thing that he wants to clarify is this bit about blessing. The implicit question he's addressing is, who is the blessed person? The disciples have a notion in their mind about who is blessed. And I think it's safe to say that it's not the same one that Jesus has in his mind. Look at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. I don't know about you, but one of my least favorite things is when people say things about me. That's not very fun. But Jesus says, you're blessed when they do that because of his name. So Jesus offers us nine situations, nine life situations, nine descriptions of a state of blessing. And my first observation is that the people who Jesus says are blessed don't really seem like the same kinds of people who are posting on Twitter and Instagram about being blessed. There it is. Poor in spirit, defeated, depressed, mourners, people who are sad, weaklings, the hungry and thirsty for justice, those are the unempowered people, the merciful, those who have been wronged, pure in heart, peacemakers, the persecuted again, oppressed, those who will suffer on behalf of Jesus. If these people are blessed, if they are in fact the privileged, the advantaged, and the well-positioned, then here's what we can be sure of. They're clearly not playing the game that most people in life are playing. They're not playing the game of getting ahead, of establishing yourself. They're certainly not playing the game of success and of reputation and of power. Nor is this the game of self-actualization and pleasure. If these folks are blessed, as indeed Jesus says they are, if they are truly advantaged, it's for something altogether different than life as we typically understand it. But maybe Jesus is just trying to get people's attention. Maybe he's not meaning for us to take him literally on this. As I was researching this whole blessed phenomenon, I came across a particular Twitter account that appeared to be posting in protest of the entire blessed movement. Check out some of these slides here. Ever have one of those days where you just wish you had died in your sleep? Hashtag blessed. Next one. And I got another book report due Monday. Blessed. Pneumonia, flu, or strep? Stay tuned to find out. Hashtag blessed. Now, if you go on this guy's site, I think it's actually some sort of a robot or something like that. There's like 137,000 posts that are all sort of ironic, contrarian posts. This guy is just a contrarian. The whole point of his account is mocking the hashtag blessed meme. He really doesn't think that being sick or having another book report due is actually a blessed state. But he actually sounds closer to Jesus than most of the others, doesn't he? But Jesus is clearly not doing what this guy is doing. Jesus has an entirely different vision for the meaning of what it means to be blessed. He's not just being contrarian. For him, the paradigm of what people typically think of as being blessed has to be reconstructed. And like so many other aspects of Jesus' ministry, what we discover is that Jesus is reconstructing the whole notion of blessing, catch this, around himself. in reference to himself. To be blessed is to belong to him, is to have your life bound up in his life. Now keep in mind that when Jesus is talking here in Matthew chapter 5, he's not just talking generically. He's not just talking about blessing somewhere out there in the world. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to people who have left families and homes and wealth and businesses and reputations and a whole lot more in order to follow him. He's talking to people, many of whom will go on to lose their very lives for bearing his name. There's nothing abstract about what Jesus is saying. Jesus' whole point seems to be that any state of life, any condition you find yourself in, can be blessed. He's not prescribing blessed states. In other words, he's not saying that you should go out and try to feel sad so you can find blessing, or that you should go out and look for persecution so you can be blessed. He's saying that there's blessing to be found in all sorts of states, even the worst of circumstances. Catch this. As long as your life is centered in him. Again, he's not just painting sort of an optimistic rose-colored glass look at the world. He's not telling people that things aren't actually as bad as they think they are. Not at all. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And if they are in fact his disciples, they cannot not be blessed. Look at the list of blessed states that he describes. In every single one of these states, in every single one of these cases, Jesus personally is the reason these states can be described as blessed. In some cases, the realization of that blessing is in the future. I think that 6 out of the 9 are future-oriented. And in some cases, it's in the present. For example, the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying that if you are his disciple and you are broken down and you are exhausted and you are discouraged and you are wrung out and you are alone and you are afraid, you're at the end of your rope, as long as you have him, you are blessed and that you can be confident that you belong to his kingdom. And he could say that. Why? Because he is the king. If you belong to him, if he is your Lord, then you are a subject of his kingdom, no matter what state you find yourself in. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, they're a subject of that kingdom. The next one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus makes it clear that even a state of grief and loss or a time of profound sadness can be a state of blessing if you have Jesus. You remember in the scriptures, he is the one who the scriptures have promised will come and will wipe every tear away. If you have him, you will have eternal comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now we all know that the meek get trampled on. The meek are a bunch of weaklings. They don't conquer anything. But even if you are a weakling and a wimp, if you have Jesus, you're blessed. You're advantaged. And he can say that. Why? Because he himself is the creator of the world. It came into being in and through him. And he is also the first fruits of the new creation. To him belongs the new creation. So if we belong to him, you remember Romans says that if you are in Christ, then you are a co-inheritor of the new creation. God will give you the inheritance of Christ. So you will inherit the earth, even if you're a weakling. Now I could go on and show you how each of these states describes how Jesus is personally responsible for their blessing. If you are a disciple, there is no state of life, there's no condition that you will ever find yourself in that could be said to be unblessed, as long as your life is hidden in Christ. And on the other hand, even the most enviable conditions in life, including wealth and power and sophistication and honor and influence, these are nothing, maybe even a curse, if you don't have Jesus. Oftentimes in the Gospels, Jesus is harshest on people who have material wealth and security and all the goods of the world. You might remember in the parallel passage in the Gospel in Luke, Jesus includes a series of woes that go alongside his statement of blessing. So he says, woe to you who are rich. Woe to you that are full now. Woe to you who are laughing. Woe to you when everyone speaks favorably of you. You see, Jesus comes down hard on these people because he knows that these so-called blessed states often become ends in themselves. They all too easily make a person complacent, and they distract them from the source of the only true and lasting blessing that can be had for them. Paul captures the full picture of blessing in his letter to the Ephesians, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. The implication of this is that all of the blessings, every spiritual blessing, is truly in Christ. If that's true, then if we want to see what a truly blessed life looks like, there's one place to look. And I have a slide. This is what the blessed life looks like. It looks like Jesus. It looks like going to the cross. It looks like offering up your life as a drink offering to God. In other words, it looks a lot like what the world thinks of as losing. Blessed are the losers who find Christ, because in finding him, they have found the source of all blessing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from our reading today, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It looks like craziness. But us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He goes on to say, Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then he goes on to say this, God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is why, throughout the history of the church, when you wanted to bless yourself, you do this. That's the sign of blessing. Do you recognize what that's saying? It is binding you to the cross. In the liturgy each week that we say during communion, we come to this part in the Sanctus where we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's not accidental that we cross ourselves and we say we are blessed. And the one who is coming is the one in that liturgy who is about to be crucified. Palm Sunday is when they say that. We are entering into the blessing of Christ. We are joining ourselves to him. And we're remembering our baptism into his life, death, and resurrection. Our boast can only be of him. Our blessedness consists not in great jobs or new cars or wealth or good health or in romantic fulfillment. It consists in belonging to God's household through Christ. It's because of Christ that we can take all the things that are good and sweet in life and that we can offer them back to God in thanksgiving. But we are equally able to take all of our sadness and our disappointment and our tiredness and offer it to God and thanksgiving, knowing that we are blessed, that our final state is one of blessing. So hear this. This is the good news. Whatever your state, wherever you are, whoever you are, in Christ, you are blessed. In Christ, you are blessed. Blessed are the losers who find Christ, because in finding him, they have found the source of all blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Eucharist Podcast. You can check us out online at www.eucharistsf.org, or come worship with us any Sunday at 10 a.m. at 1504 Bryant Street, San Francisco, California.